Hello and welcome to Investors Hangout. This weekly interaction to help you learn and understand savings and investment issues is brought to you by Aditya Birla Sun Life Mutual Fund and Value Research. So right now, a lot is happening. Indian elections are approaching. There's a war brewing in the Middle East. And all of these things, they have a bearing on the market sentiment and in turn on your investments. So this is a time when a lot of investors, you know, they are agitated or curious as to what they should do. So is there anything that you need to do? Is there a checklist that you need to prepare? We'll talk about that in today's episode with Dhirendra Kumar. Welcome, Dhirendra.
Thank you.
So let's begin today's conversation with, you know, with so much noise around us. What should an investor do in such times?
You know, one is to ask the question that should you do anything?
Right.
And if you're on to any good plan, if you have, you know, for example, there could be a person who started his investing a year ago. He chose a couple of fixed, you know, flexi-cap fund and he's on to it. He should do nothing. You don't need to. If you have two flexi-cap fund for your 10,000 rupee SIP, do nothing. If you started investing a couple of years back and then you randomly got into the market and you invested and the market kept going up, and you were, you know, watching mutual funds, yeah, campaign, you were excited, you did it, and the market went up, you're sitting on profit. And then not only that, most people also end up being a collector. You had this fund, you have that fund, that NFO, and you kept on buying that. Buying mutual fund has also become easy. If you're with a collection of funds, maybe sharpen your portfolio. Ask yourself a question that what do you have? Come to Value Research, set up your portfolio and see that, do you really need all these, you know, these too many funds? Sharpen your portfolio. The people who have accumulated something meaningful, you know, assuming that you have been doing this, making your investment for last 10, 15, 20 years, and it has accumulated to something on which your retirement will depend, on which your lifetime of income will depend. You need to do something about it because you will get upset. It will be very unnerving. And couple of things to do. One is to, first step is to actually reorganize your portfolio. Second step is to, you know, set up a asset allocation, fix your asset allocation. You have to decide at this stage that whether you want to be 75% into equity or 100% into equity or 50% into equity, because till you decide this, how will you, you know, how will you make sure that, you know, you have to do something about it? You have to do some course correction. And the advantage of asset allocation is that you will get an opportunity to rebalance. This will have two effects. One is that, first is that, you know, when you do this asset allocation and, you know, cleaning up your portfolio, you are so much in greater control of what is going on. Second is that, you know, when, if market goes down, you will get an opportunity to invest. And you will get an opportunity to invest and you will have a framework to invest. Otherwise, if tomorrow, if the market goes down and you are fully invested in equity, you will only have regret and you don't have a framework. So asset allocation and rebalancing is basically creating a framework for you to act in a logical manner.
So, you know, you mentioned asset allocation. Usually most of the investors, they have their investments scattered in a lot of instruments. There are mutual funds, there are stocks that they buy, there's PF and, you know, a lot of instruments. So how does one really know what is their accumulation and how then to go about asset allocation?
One is that, you know, you can do it at different level of sophistication. You can just pick a piece of, you know, paper and write that how much is your EPF, how much is your mutual equity fund, how much is your debt, how much is your fixed deposit. Do a sum total of all this and see what percentage is what. Because everything should boil down to equity, debt or commodity.
Right.
And you will figure out that what is your asset allocation. The more sophisticated way, or the smart investors, what they do is they come to Value Research. They put all their investments there, including fixed deposit, including bonds, including shares, because you have stocks, you have bonds. And the advantage of doing it on Value Research online is that you not only know what is your asset allocation, you exactly know how much is concentration and how much is real diversification. Because diversification is just as important. If you think that you have invested in equity and that is all, things are sorted, no, they are not sorted. You have to make sure that, you know, you are diversified enough and you are not too diversified. So you have to strike a good balance there. And that typically happens when you just randomly go about collecting investment for a long period of time, and there is nothing wrong in that. But there comes a occasion where when you know you should actually sharpen your portfolio, formulate some rules, and the first rule is that remain diversified. Second rule is to actually have a asset allocation. Third rule is to have when you will rebalance. You know, assuming that you have decided to have an asset allocation of 50 into equity, 50 into debt, and you are 10 years away from your retirement, or 5 years away from your retirement. Whether this 50 becomes 55 and, you know, debt becomes 45, will you do a rebalancing? Or when it becomes 60% equity and 40% debt, then you will do rebalancing. So formulating your own rules. And there is no, you know, there is no thumb rule. There is also no, you know, I would say any academic rule which drives you to act. You need to, you know, formulate your own rules simply because it will give you, you know, some discipline. Also, I think that, you know, it will be very profitable and it will reduce a lot of anxiety because every time the market goes up, you will feel happy. If every time the market goes up, you will be realizing a bit of gain, but you will not be acting in a knee-jerk way. My worry about most investors is that, you know, they when they panic, they act in a manner which hurts them in the long term.
You mentioned diversification. How do we know what is the right diversification? You know, you're not too diversified or you're not too concentrated. What is the right formula for that?
My reason for diversification is that you should be interested. A good diversification can be achieved with something like 30-40 stocks. A good diversification can also be achieved with even one fund. In fact, one good asset allocation and diversification can be achieved with an aggressive hybrid fund because it will be, you know, maintaining an asset allocation of 75-25. Not only that, it will keep rebalancing without any tax incidents.
Right.
Then the equity portfolio will be spread over 30-40 stocks, at least. The fixed income portfolio will be spread over multiple bonds. So a good diversification can be achieved with one fund, can be achieved with a couple of multi-cap fund, can be achieved with 30-40 stocks. But having 10 fund is not going to serve a purpose. Once you have investments cross, you know, mutual funds crossing 10, you are not interested in any. And when something slips substantially or when something does very well, it has no corresponding effect on your, you know, on your net worth. It is very important for investors to be interested in the investment that they have made. And with that, I think that, you know, great diversification can be achieved with 3-4 funds. And great diversification of an equity portfolio can be achieved with 20, 25, 30, 40 stocks at most.
Okay, then how does one go about, you know, judging the quality of their investment? What's the criteria for that?
This is where, you know, value research comes into play very meaningfully. In fact, recently we launched something called stock rating. And I would say that don't go about micromanaging. But I would say that if a fund slips from 5-star to 4-star to 3-star, keep watching. At least you have been alerted that okay, something is not good. Because you know it's the risk-adjusted on the risk-adjusted scale, the fund is slipping, and that is why there is a decline in the rating. And once it slips below 3-star, start asking that why is it happening, for and is it happening for a reason? Has the fund manager gone away, or is the fund taking too much risk, or is it, you know, you will be able to figure out. So I would say that good investment, bad investment, you will get excellent prompts at value research. And in a manner, and if you know, another thing is that you have to see that how much to worry.
Right.
Many a times I find that, you know, one investor will invest 2% in an investment. And it is the most, you know, volatile one. He's very excited about it. And, you know, that excitement does not correspond to the proportionate, you know, joy of building wealth or, you know, being well off. Have meaningful exposure. And that can be done with, you know, that can be had only with either a one fund or a two fund or four fund and five fund, and that is it. And when it comes to mutual fund, five is enough. Unless you have some extraordinary case, maybe go up, go with a sector fund or go with a thematic fund or go with something which has come your way and you're very convinced, but you don't know which one to sell. So At most, but keep an eye. Don't have 20, don't have 30, don't be become a collector.
But you know what happens is, from personal experience, I can tell you that over the years when you're investing, you know gradually stop investing in one fund. You see that another fund is doing consistently well. You start investing there. So that's how you become a collector, I guess. So how do you prune your portfolio then?
We can't really help you find great winners. We primarily help you avoid the big losers. So if a fund is consistently one star or two star, and for a couple of years, get rid of your losers. And rest of them, just for sake, unless you have some 10, 15, 20% exposure to of your total equity exposure, consider selling them. If the fund has turned bad, if the fund manager has quit, if the fund has started becoming, behaving in an erratic manner, if the fund has some qualitative thing has changed. For example, the fund was doing very well. And now that fund has become so big that it struggles to do well. And the dynamics of that fund has changed. So you will have to, read a little bit. When you have meaningful exposure, you are interested, and then you are interested in learning a little bit more. Not too much of learning, but understanding that what is going on. And is it an alarming thing? Because many a times nothing is going on. Something is just gone out of favor. The portfolio remains the same. It is not doing as good as it did in the recent past. You can't do much about it. And then it will do well again, because most part of components of the markets are cyclical.
And to one fund, how much, what should be the limit to your, exposure to one fund house as such?
Yes, these are other levels of diversification. Because, I would say that there is no limit till you are in your first few years of accumulation. Because, if once you are investing in one fund and your accumulation is a couple of lakh rupees, but it is very insignificant, because initial years you think that, you'll be saving more, investing more, and it will do well. Only once it becomes meaningful. And I would like to define what is meaningful.
Right.
Meaningful is the worth of your investment, which is equal to 10 years of your monthly savings. If you are saving something like 10,000 rupees a month, which is 1,20,000 rupees a year, which is 12 lakh rupees, which in the last 10 years has appreciated to 40 lakh rupees, then that is meaningful, because it is 10 years of your hard work and the residual of that.
Right.
So that is the money which you should worry about, and that should be not, at least spread over four funds and four good funds. And so that, because some of the great fund managers also go out of favor. But if you are invested in just in the great one and he goes out of favor, then you are in trouble.
Right.
You are not only in trouble, it will cause a great deal of anxiety. By investing in a mutual fund, the way you diversify, it reduces risk, it reduces anxiety, and you are more likely to stick around.
Okay.
And which is the most crucial thing to succeed with investing?
All right, now to sum it all up, if you had to give five must-do, pointers to people to prune their portfolios, what would they be?
Define what is too much of diversification. If you have, and too much of funds meaning, if you have SIP going on in 15 funds, pick your winners, stop the other ones, reduce it to, four or five. Second is that, get rid of the poor ones. If you have accumulated something sizable, decide on the asset allocation. Work on the rebalancing plan and make sure that even your debt allocation is, and take a holistic view of your investments. Because many a times your accumulation in your provident fund might be, 1 crore. And you have invested 10 lakh rupees in mutual fund and you're obsessed about it. It doesn't matter. It's just 10% of it. So be rational about this. Keep an eye. Take a holistic view of things. And when deciding on the asset allocation and rebalancing, take everything in picture. Take a 360 degree view of all your investments. One more thing. You don't have to get carried away by the noise. You are investing for the long term. And every 5 years there is an election. Every now and then there is a war. And every now and then, we don't know how the war will escalate and what impact it will have. Control the controllables. You have control on your savings. You have control on your investments. You have control on building a portfolio which is sharp and good enough and you believe in it. So focus on that and let the other other people, let the warriors do the war, and you know, politicians do the fight the elections.
Plus, the good news is that Indian markets have become resilient, and you know, things do not affect Indian markets as much as they used to at one point of time.
Yes, Indian market has become more stable. It is not as vulnerable to foreign investors' action, but don't bank on that. Investors' mind is very malleable. People can get upset even when we get the same government back, but with fewer seats or fewer than expected seats, because market has, you know, it is a very complex combination. It's a cocktail of, you know, so many opinion that it is very difficult to anticipate in the short run. What you can be very confident about in the long run is that things look unusually optimistic. Things look very fine, and markets are not very expensive. You are so, and if you stick around on a plan, you will end up being a winner.
All right then, hope you find this session useful and you'll be able to sharpen your portfolio, taking cues from what Dhirendra has said. That's all we have for you in today's episode. Keep watching the space for more information. If you like the show, do subscribe to our YouTube channel. Take care. Bye for now.